For the rest of us, today we are again, as we did last week, we are hitting the pause button on the Parshiot. Today is both the last Sunday of Lent, what is a season of preparation. It is also Palm Sunday, what is this kind of annual remembering of Jesus' final entry, Jesus' final journey into the city of Jerusalem, both of which really then center us around, not so much Jesus' life, but as much his death, as well as then, as we look forward to next week and his resurrection. Noting, as Aaron Saul writes, he says, everything in life has its own time. There is a time to celebrate, and there is a time to mourn. This is the time, and we can think here of Jesus, right? And again, his death, his crucifixion, as well as then his resurrection. This is the time for reflection and transformation. Let us look within and change into what we ought to be. Meaning this is the time we set aside, really to enter into, if you will, to enter into the intersection, to let the Word of God penetrate, to give the Spirit access. In essence, to lay down in the spirit of this season, to lay as did Jesus, right? To lay down our lives. This is the time, in a word, this is the time we surrender. Right? This is the time we surrender, we release, we let go. From author Steve Maraboli, he says, you must learn to let go. You must learn to let go, release the stress. You are never in control anyway. Keeping in mind, there's a reason he says you must learn, right? Because more often than not, what do? We want to take hold, we want to grab, we want to seize, we want to control, or at least we attempt to control. And I think that's kind of the rub for each one of us, that we come at life, we come at life with kind of our own thoughts and ideas, our own kind of preconceived notions about how life should be, about how my life should be, about how life should go, about how my life should go, and then we act in ways, again, think control, we act in ways to bring that to pass. But wherever you find yourself in all of that, here comes Jesus inviting us to not only hit the pause button on the Parshiot, but to reflect, inviting us to look within, to learn, to let go. In a word, to surrender, right? You are never in control anyway. Jesus himself living this way of surrender, we find testimony to that in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. This is Jesus just hours before his arrest and crucifixion. He is with his disciples, most notably with Peter and James and John. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Verse 35, going a little farther, he, Jesus, fell to the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. And maybe in some way we can imagine, right? Jesus here with his own thoughts, ideas, his own hopes, dreams, desires. And yet it's into that he says, yet not what I will, but what you will, right? Yet not what I will, God, but what you will. It's the way of surrender we find in the midst of the disciples, flowing in the midst of the disciples. In Luke 18 and 28, Peter says to Jesus, Peter said to him, we have left all. And again, we can think surrender, we can think letting go, releasing, right? Plans, dreams, hopes. Peter said to Jesus, we have left all, we left all we had to follow you. Translation, not what I will, Jesus, right, but what you will. Right, again, what is this idea of surrender? Right, after all, you were never in control anyway. As the late Oswald Chambers, as he puts it, our natural inclination is to be so precise, trying always to forecast accurately what will happen next, that we look upon uncertainty as a bad thing. We think we must reach some predetermined goal. And that's kind of the paradox then of the spiritual life, right? Because I think each one of us, in some place inside, we all get, right, that everything's not right within us, right? All is not right in here. And so what do? We go to great effort, right? We take hold, we grab, we seize, we control, we try to control. And yet, as Chambers notes, he goes on, he says, but that is not the nature of the spiritual life. The nature of the spiritual life is that we are certain in our uncertainty. To be certain of God means that we are uncertain in all our ways, not knowing what tomorrow may bring. This is usually expressed with a sigh of sadness, but it should be an expression of breathless expectation. We are uncertain of the next step, but we are certain of God. As soon as we abandon ourselves, and we can think here again, surrender, as soon as we abandon ourselves to God and do the task He has placed closest to us, He begins to fill our lives with surprises. Surprises that we will never experience as long as we aim to be in control. As long as we aim for control. And the thing of it is that our attempts for control do and will limit our ability to experience God and to experience others in very real and authentic and meaningful ways. Right? Our aim to be in control, right? Blinding us to the joy and the beauty and the wonder that is right there, blinding us to the gift that is right there before us, in front of us. For me, it was a Saturday morning. It was about 8 years ago. I was officiating a wedding that day, and so I had gotten ready. I gathered up all my stuff, and I began to walk through the kitchen to the den, and toward the garage door, when I heard Brianna say, "Daddy." And so I looked down, and there was Brianna swimming in an ocean of beads, right? Every color of bead. Beads were everywhere. Beads were going in every single direction, not only the beads, but also the strings, right, that you make the necklaces with. And so string like spaghetti noodles, you know, weaving its way through from one end of the room to the other. And in the middle of it all, in the midst of it all, was sweet and precious Brianna, although I confess to you that I was not thinking sweet and precious at that very moment. I was thinking this mess needs to get cleaned up, right? We've got a schedule here, and this mess needs to get cleaned up, right? I wanted control. I wanted to take hold, grab, seize. I wanted to control. I had my expectation, my hopes, my plans, my expectations of what this room should look like, of how Brianna should even be acting. All of it really blinding me to the joy and the beauty and the wonder until I heard her say, "Daddy, what color necklace do you want me to make for you?" Oh, right. "What color, Daddy?" And then she held up a blue bead. She said, "You like blue, right, Daddy?" Right? Breathless expectation. Right? And He begins to fill our lives with surprises. This was true for another couple who went into the room of their 6-year-old son and found that he had found the green marker. There was evidence he had found the green marker. But instead of choosing control, right, instead of choosing to take hold and to grab and to seize, they took time to reflect and to look within, to learn, to let go. And instead, they framed the piece, just like a masterpiece in a gallery, right, even creating this artwork label. They titled the treasure piece "Interrupted House." The preferred medium was marker on latex paint. And then includes this caption, "Gifted to his parents by surprise, November 13th. It was the Trappist monk, Thomas Merton, who captured this idea. He said, the beginning of love is to let others be themselves. and not to twist them to fit our own image. In other words, right? Let go. Let go of control. Surrender. Otherwise, he says, we love only the reflection of ourselves we find in them. As author Robin Hogue puts it, she says, being a follower of God requires a mind that is open. And we can think here again, surrender. Open to the unexpected. God fulfills God's promises in God's own way, in God's own time, and with God's own sense of humor and surprise. What is thought to be the impossible or absurd may prove to be precisely God's plan. I think we see a great example of this kind of impossibility, this absurdity. It's found in the Gospel of John in chapter 3, the opening line. It's the story of Nicodemus. 3:1, it picks up here. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. So here is Nicodemus. He is a Pharisee, a ruler, right? He's a member of the Sanhedrin, this Jewish ruling council. He has wealth, he has power, he has prestige. Seems somewhat clear here that he really doesn't understand Jesus. He does come with respect. He calls him a teacher, a rabbi, which is a term of respect. With that, it says here, we read, it is night. It is nighttime. One thing to know about John is that John often uses words that convey more than just one idea. Night is one of those words, meaning, yes, on the one hand, it is dark, absolutely. But with that, it conveys the idea that Nicodemus doesn't want to be seen. Right? He comes in the dark. He doesn't want to be seen. Right? He has a high standing in Jewish circles. And so by coming in the dark, he really avoids the risk of losing status, of losing his standing, his wealth, his prestige. We could say he avoids the risk of losing control. Right? He avoids the risk of losing control. It's how he does life. But Jesus comes and he offers this other way, right? To be born again. Right? It's to enter into this whole other way of life. Right? This idea that to be born of the flesh, right? It's this idea of to take hold, to grab, to seize, to control. And Jesus says, no, you must be born of the Spirit, right? And we can think, reflect. We can think, look within, learn. Let go, right? Surrender. You were never in control anyway. That was absolutely true for one Confederate soldier. His name is not known, but his words still live on. He writes, I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do great things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. Right again, to reflect, to look within, to learn, to let go, right? To surrender. We were never in control anyway. Do we live this way of surrender? Do we live this way of surrender, right? In that situation, in that circumstance, do we live this way of surrender? Do we walk the path of letting go? In that situation that you can't see your way through, in that circumstance that is kind of haunting you, do we live this way of surrender? Do we walk the path of letting go? We could say, do we practice the art of release? Do we practice the art of release? Do we receive each moment as a gift? Do we receive each moment as a gift? We could ask, do we echo the words of Jesus, right? Saying, yet not what I will. Right? In that situation, in that circumstance, in that condition, in that moment, yet not what I will. But Jesus, what you will. And then with that, also to consider, what is God calling me to release? What is God calling me to release today? What is He calling me to let go this week? And again, we can think of situations and circumstances, right? Plans, ideas, thoughts. What would it look like to abandon myself to God? What would it look like to abandon myself to God? And here again, we can think moments, activities, events, outcomes. And then as we wrap this up, and we'll sit for a bit in some stillness and some open worship. Again, our open worship is a time, I think, of Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And so open worship is a time to enter into that place of stillness, to sit in the stillness and to reflect on what we have heard, to reflect and to listen for God's voice. And then in that space, if the Lord would lead you to share something for the community, the microphone is available. But to wrap it up, what would it look like to live with breathless expectation? What would it look like today, this week, this season, to live with breathless expectation? We are uncertain of the next step, but we are certain of God. As soon as we abandon ourselves to God and do the task He has placed closest to us, He begins to fill our lives with surprises.